Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 21, Don't Judge Me, Judging God's Way. How many times have we heard these expressions? God says, you are not to judge me. Before you judge me, make sure you are perfect. Don't judge me just because my sin is different than yours. Don't judge my path if you haven't walked my journey, or don't judge me until you've walked in my shoes. If you judge me, you are going to be judged. If you judge me, you don't love me. Why are Christians seen as judgmental? A popular belief is that Christians are judgmental because they impose their beliefs on others by thinking only their morals are right, and therefore their opinions are all that matter. Usually Christians are judged in this way for two reasons. Their attitude is prideful and harsh, or two, the one judging the Christian doesn't realize it is God's beliefs and morals that the Christian is presenting, and their own opinion doesn't matter. Only God's opinion is what's important, and therefore that person is actually judging God and not the Christian who presents God's higher ways, hopefully in a humble, kind, and gentle way. We live in a worldview instead of a biblical worldview where everyone does what is right in their own eyes. People judge God's ways as harsh and unloving. Therefore, they deem God as wrong and themselves as wiser than God. They don't like his ways or his standards. This means people insist there are no moral absolutes, and thus we should tolerate individual beliefs and not judge. This simply means they celebrate their own worldly beliefs that are against God and then get upset when Christians stand up and speak the truth about God's wisdom. Even if they speak it in love, those who do not want to surrender to God's ways will not receive truth nor love, and therefore call the Christian judgmental. This is not true. Actually, they are judging God and his ways and have an issue with God. So they take it out on the Christian and start name-calling. You're a religious fanatic. You're a legalist. You're like a Pharisee. You think you are a judge over me. So here come the attacks for speaking the truth in love, for standing up for God's moral ways, but that's the price tag. But God's word says we must judge. A different word for this is discern between good and evil. Hebrews 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Discernment is judging in accordance to God's word, his ways, and his wisdom. God desires that we make spiritual evaluations of the words, behavior, and motives of others. This means we are effectively guarding our hearts against embracing error against God. It also means we care enough about a person to show them a better way, God's way. The motive is not to pridefully judge the person as being less than us, but rather to use godly wisdom to judge what is against God so we or others don't go down a wrong path. An example of this would be when Jesus warned his disciples. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 17. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them, or you will judge them by their fruits. We aren't being discerning if we don't judge the choices and fruits of someone and then either address it or walk away from it as we warn others about the deceit and harm from walking in untruths. Isaiah 5, verses 20 through 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. A strong, brave Christian speaks the truth, not merely what they believe to be the truth, because that doesn't matter, but rather the truth that is obviously revealed in God's word is the only thing that truly matters. All that matters is what the God of the universe says, what is good and true and right. We speak that, walk in it, and encourage others to do the same with love, humility, and gentleness. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When Jesus tells us, do not judge others, it does not mean we can't speak up for God's ways. When we see what is against God, we are supposed to judge this as wrong in the eyes of God and then deal with it the way God wants us to. Of course, we don't do this all the time with all people. We use discernment in who to speak truth to and when to do it. Ephesians 4, verse 15, speak the truth in love. So the balance is we have to judge what is right and wrong in accordance to what God has already judged, and then to stand up for it with love. Love and judgment or discernment go hand in hand. Let's look at this verse about judging. Matthew 7, verse 1, Jesus says, do not judge or you too will be judged. This is one of Jesus's most repeated sayings, even though its meaning within the context is completely neglected. They believe Jesus was saying, you have no business telling others that they are wrong. They use this verse to silence those who are standing up for God's truth regarding issues. But Jesus wasn't issuing a blanket rule that people are never to judge others. Truth be told, there is far more to the actual meaning of this passage than the three words, do not judge. Actually, Jesus gives us permission to tell right from wrong, to discern what is good and what is bad, what is godly and ungodly. It's not good to take just one verse and make a whole belief on that. Otherwise, we are taking that verse out of context and assuming God means something when he didn't. We don't want to add, subtract, or twist a verse to verify our own perspective or our own understanding that could be against God's. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2 and Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19, do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Let's do practical application time. 4 wrong ways to judge and 6 right ways to judge. Wrong ways: 1, shallow judging, 2, hypocritical judging, 3, harsh and unforgiving judgment, and 4, self-righteous judging. The right way of judging: 1, righteous judgment, 2, discerning judgment, 3, preaching and teaching judgment, 4, confronting error judgment, 5, speaking the truth judgment, and 6, church discipline judgment. Judging the wrong way. The first type of wrong judging is shallow judgment. 1, on appearances. John 7, verse 24, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Passing judgment for superficial, trivial, unimportant reasons because of our own opinions is wrong. On the other hand, judging correctly in accordance with the truth in God's word is correct and necessary to stand with God in what is good and right. 2, on the surface, Proverbs 18, 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. It is foolish and shameful to jump to conclusions or judge someone before investigating the facts. Here's an example. Simon the Pharisee wrongly passed judgment on a woman based on her appearance and reputation before he gathered information regarding her. Thus, Jesus rebuked him for his unrighteous judgment. Luke 7, verses 37 through 50. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she learned that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." And Jesus said, "A moneylender had 2 debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which one of them will love more?" Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And Jesus said to Simon, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins have been forgiven." Those who were reclining at the table with Jesus began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The second type of wrong judging is hypocritical judgment. Jesus' command not to judge others in Matthew 7, verse 1 is followed by comparisons to hypocrites and then followed by a warning against hypocrisy. See Matthew 6, verse 2, 5 and 16. Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. When Christ taught, judge not, lest you be judged, he argued against the human tendency to take spiritual truth and twist it into hypercritical superiority as the Pharisees had done. Because of this type of individual pride, we criticize and judge others as we place ourselves above them. Romans 2, verses 1 through 3, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? So the Apostle Paul cautioned, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad and you have no excuse. Wrong judgment is judging others while we do the same sins. Jesus requires true followers to apply his teachings first to themselves and then to others. First, we must ask ourselves, where am I wrong in this area? If we are not wrong and are not sinning in that way, then we can help the person who is by pointing out how God has judged this area as sin we need to overcome. In James 4, verses 11 through 12, James warned believers, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? God's way of wanting us to discern or judge never includes having a critical spirit. We are not the judge over others, but rather we stand with the judge when we stand for his ways in a humble, gentle mannerism. Third type of wrong judging is harsh and unforgiving judgment. God tells us we are always to be gentle toward everyone, and this includes those who are not walking in God's ways. You can have a gentle firmness, but not a harsh firmness. The opposite is to harshly judge while showing no mercy with their weakness or wrong choices. Titus 3, verse 2, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Now, to malign means to be hurtful, injurious, negative, and critical with a judgmental attitude that has the attitude we are better than someone else. Matthew 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We all will stumble and sin. We need people that are brave enough to speak God's truth to us about how God judges those sins, and we are therefore to walk away from that sin. They need mercy just like we do. Matthew 7, verse 2, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." God doesn't tell us not to judge or discern or speak what God has judged as to what displeases him, but God does tell us how to speak and how we should treat people as we point out God's truth. Fourth type of wrong judging is self-righteous judgment. God calls us to humility when we see, discern, or judge wrong choices in others that go against God's righteous ways. We never puff ourselves up in pride as we look down on others, even if we ourselves are following God's ways and they are not in particular areas. God opposes us or is against us when we are self-righteous or think we are better than others. It's not about who is better. It's about helping others see a better belief and have a better choice, because God's wisdom is always better. Judging or discerning helps to get people off a destructive path and put them on a beneficial path in life and relationship situations. James 4, verse 6, "God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." In Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Pharisee was dependent on his own righteousness. And from his proud attitude, he judged the publican's worth or value being lower than his. This is not putting humility with wise judgment or discernment in standing up for God's ways. Rather, it is self-exaltation instead of exalting God's word and wisdom. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. "And Jesus also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner.' Jesus said, 'I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Proverbs 21, verse 4, "The haughty look and the proud heart displease God because it does not honor him." Supposedly from a mid-16th century statement by John Bradford, "There but for the grace of God go I," is in reference to a group of prisoners being led to execution for martyrdom. It is known to be a statement of humility and gratitude that acknowledges a person's own sinful nature and the need for God's continued grace. Therefore, we are less likely to be so quick to harshly judge others as less than ourselves, as we realize we all desperately need God to help us overcome whatever displeases him. Now let's talk about judging the right way. The first type of right judging is righteous judging. Believers are warned against judging others the wrong way, but on the other hand, to balance this out, Jesus tells us we are to have a righteous type of judging. John 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So what is righteous judgment? Well, righteous judgment is when we understand the commands of God, the ways of God, the wisdom of God, the word of God. We know what he approves of and what he disapproves of. We understand what is acceptable to him and what is not. We judge between those two, God's approval and God's disapproval. Righteous judgment is all about God and standing with him instead of against him in all aspects of life situations and relationship circumstances. Righteous judgment is not about going along with what the culture or the majority thinks is right and acceptable, so we won't be labeled as critical, legalistic, and unloving. Rather, it's about holding on to God's ways instead of the culture's continually changing beliefs that are against God. Therefore, righteous judgment doesn't go along with the popular majority in how we should accept anyone's choices and all the choices they make that are against God's wisdom. Rather, we realize it's all about the choices God has already made. We are to be God pleasers and not people pleasers. Righteous judgment is not about what we agree with or what makes sense to us regarding God's ways. Rather, it is about what makes sense to God because he sees the bigger picture. It's not about what makes sense to us, but rather it's about what makes sense to God in all areas of life. 1 Corinthians 2:15. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. What does this mean? When Paul says the spiritual man judges all things, he isn't suggesting that they are to have a critical spirit that is always looking for the wrong in others. Rather, this type of righteous judging is the ability to discern spiritual truths and to distinguish between what is of God and what is not. Paul notes that the spiritual person is himself to be judged by no one. This means to have spiritual discernment is to have the Holy Spirit give us discernment in all things. Not the changing opinions of people, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit in what is of God and what is not. This means the spiritual person doesn't minimize the ways of God, but rather they are aware of their conscience being sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit's teaching. Hebrews 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. In other words, this speaks of mature believers who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. The spiritual man possesses the maturity and the spiritual insight to evaluate situations, teachings, and behaviors according to the standards of God's word. This is saying that the spiritual man judges all things. That is, he can discern or evaluate properly the things of God because they are spiritually perceived. The second type of right judgment is discerning judging. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to what is good. discernment is the right type of judging. Right after Jesus says, do not judge, he says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs, Matthew 7, verse 6. And then a little later in the same sermon, he says, watch out for false prophets. By their fruit, you will recognize or judge them in verses 15 through 16. So how are we to discern who the false prophets are or know false teaching and false teachers unless we make a judgment call? Jesus is giving us the go-ahead, his approval, his blessing to know right from wrong and even pointing it out, so others don't stumble in their deceit and falsehood that is against God. This is judging in the right way. To call murder, adultery, worshiping false gods and false religions a sin is likewise to pass judgment. But it also means we are agreeing with God's judgments. We stand by them. When Jesus said not to judge others, he was not telling us that we are not allowed to identify what is falsehood and deceit and call it out, or to not say a sin is a sin, or a wrong is a wrong. But rather, we are to watch out and identify what is deceit, sin, and wrong. Jesus wants us to judge by being discerning. Otherwise, we are accepting the deceit, the sin, and the wrong. We have partnered with that instead of with God. Third type of right judging, preaching and teaching on sin. This includes the whole counsel of God, including hard topics such as abortion, sexual sin, drunkenness, and any unrepentive lifestyles that are against God's ways. It's important we are being taught and thus matured in all the Word of God and not just some of it. Acts 20, verse 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Paul went beyond the message of salvation or the pretty passages of Scripture. He also equipped God's people with the hard parts so followers of Christ would walk away from sin and run toward godly living. Paul wasn't being judgmental and legalistic or unloving, but rather he was standing up for all of God's ways and provoking Christians to do the same. This is how their light would shine in a dark world that needed to know Christ as Savior so they could be free from their sinful choices. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Paul charged Timothy to communicate to others all of God's truths and not just some of it. Reproving, rebuking, and exhorting along with patience in the instructions from God's word is not being judgmental. It is being helpful for the maturity of God's people. The word is to be shared when it is convenient and when it isn't convenient. It's not convenient when proclaiming the truth is resisted, when it's awkward or difficult, but it is still to be shared regardless of that. It's not being judgmental, but rather it is offering others a better way, which is God's way. Sharing God's truth also includes exhorting, which is a term referring to encouragement or urging. From a Greek term, it involves giving comforting support to others in following all of God's ways. But we must judge what is right or wrong in the sight of God before we can encourage and urge others as we support God's word in ways. We use God's judgment on issues of life as we support others with patience to follow God's highest standards. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Embracing all of God's word and ways does not mean we are being judgmental. It simply means we realize all of what God wants us to do or not do, and that is what is ultimately important, because God says so, not because we say so. Fourth type of right judging, confronting erring believers. Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. We point out sin or a wrong perspective or lifestyle that displeases God or goes against Scripture without being condescending. We can ask questions. Well, what do you think God means about this subject or this verse, instead of lecturing the one that is in the wrong? We do this with all gentleness and humility. Judging righteously always means with a caring, loving heart that is concerned about others' well-being. No one likes to be corrected. If you are doing the best you can to show God's judgment on certain issues with the right attitude, then it is not your fault or your responsibility for them to receive the truth about God's ways. They are responsible for how they handle the correction. Matthew 7, verses 3 through 4. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? And etc. Jesus is telling us that we all have sin in our life that others can see. Rather, it's the speck of sin in others' lives or the log of a sin that is in our own life we all need to judge. What is displeasing to God, and then turn from it. And we need each other to help us and pull us up toward God's ways and receive it. The fifth type of right judging is speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. The loving thing to do is to judge what is right and what is wrong in accordance with the truth of Scripture, and then speak up about it, because truth is what helps people find solutions to their problems. We are to help each other grow up in all aspects of Christian living by judging what is good and what is bad in the eyes of God. We don't go along with the wrong by staying silent, but we speak up for what is right in the eyes of God to honor Him, using discernment when and who we should do that with. The balance of this is we don't always speak truth to every person at all times in regard to all topics. We must use discernment and wisdom regarding whom we should speak truth to, when the right time to talk to them is, and what issue should we be addressing, if at all, and not even attempt to do it if we have a prideful, harsh attitude. Now, to clarify, speaking out against sin is not always wrong. holding on to God's ways will indeed draw the arrows of those who choose sin over godliness. This is to be expected. For example, John the Baptist. Would we say John the Baptist was judgmental, legalistic, and unloving when he addressed the sin in Herod? Or would we say he judged what Herod did and called it out to glorify God's ways so others would learn from it? And also Herod would be given the opportunity to repent. Now, note, this surely doesn't mean we always do this, but there are times when we should. Mark 6, verses 17 through 29. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled. Yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came, and on his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests, and the king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "Well, what should I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. And so at once the girl hurried into the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her, so he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. John the Baptist was killed when he spoke out against adultery, as he judged the choice was sin against God and would negatively affect many people. John the Baptist was right to judge the actions of Herod and warn him of his wicked ways. His unlawful wife Herodias also had time to repent, but she hardened her heart and had the bearer of truth executed for speaking God's truth. It wasn't just about her, but it was also about her example and her husband Herod's example that would influence people in a godless way. So judgment is not just about pointing out the wrong that is harmful to that individual, but it is also to protect others from the consequences of godless choices. The sixth type of right judging, church discipline. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you and you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. If we allow and overlook blatant, unrepentive, sinful lifestyles that are known and not addressed, then not only does this cause continual harm to the offender, but it gives the message to others that sin is not a big deal to God. This is not being prideful, judgmental, legalistic, and loving when there is church discipline. When church discipline is done out of love and concern with gentleness and kindness, then we are lovingly helping someone to get back on the right path. Ignoring it is simply allowing God's judgment and hard consequences to eventually come about and poison the body of Christ, because God will not be mocked. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 11, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to encourage to love and to good works. Let's recap the right and wrong ways to judge. Four wrong ways. One, shallow judging. Two, hypocritical judging. Three, harsh and unforgiving judging. And four, self-righteous judging. Six right ways to judge. Righteous judgment. Two, discerning judgment. Three, preaching and teaching judgment. Four, confronting error judgment. Five, speaking the truth judgment. And six, church discipline judgment. Thanks for listening, and I sure hope this teaching on judging is helpful as we all see the balance in this subject. Okay, we are now finished with a series on 21 quick lessons on overcoming personal issues. May God continue to give you a love for His Word and His powerful grace to help all of us follow His ways in what we've learned. We all are on the journey of life to live in His wisdom before He calls us home to heaven. Please stay with me as I will be sending out a new series every Wednesday afternoon on different topics and issues. I hope you share with your friends so we all can learn together. Take care. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.